So here in the United States, we are having very hot weather. It's August the 3rd, and it's a beautiful sunny day. We send sunshine to everyone. And I'm looking forward to receiving hugs in person from as many as possible who can come to our blessing conference here in on the Texas coast in Corpus Christi on August the 21st and 22nd. You can find that online in our Love Without End store, where in our section called Seminars, and find out all about it. We would love to have you. If you've ever wanted to be a blessing giver, this is how you do it. And wherever you come from, you will take back to that area your ability to convey the blessings locally. Now, you might say, well, Glenda, why is that so necessary when God is everywhere, when Yeshua reaches all of us? Well, it's true. Yeshua is with all of us. And anyone can pray and receive blessings. There is no intercessory necessary to reach him or to reach God. It's our goal for all of us to have a strong personal relationship that is outside time and space. However, the reality is that most of us live inside time and space. We live inside our problems. And most of the time, we even pray from inside our problems or our fears or our worries or our concerns or our pains or our lack of something. We pray from inside this capsule we've put ourselves inside the physical world. And now everything in this world and even beyond all the way into the spiritual kingdom is energetic. And we sometimes do not pick up the messages of God that are being sent to us because we don't even have a receiver. We're so embedded in our problem. We're only tuned in to beta brainwaves. And we literally cannot receive anything else. The energy of this universe is like any other form of energy. It has to have a receiver in order to pick it up, decode it, and apply the message. Even it goes to sending the message. Have you ever prayed till your heart was bleeding and you felt your prayers weren't heard? Well, this is because we're sitting inside our aching heart or our aching lives, and we're trying to pray with that energy. And the energy is just like a boomerang. It just comes back to us on the level of our problems and never gets sent. And you might be saying, well, what? Doesn't God break through all of that and just be with us? Of course. Of course, but we can't send and receive. It's just like if you didn't have a stomach, you couldn't eat. We are built to have a multidimensional state of being, a multidimensional body, heart, mind, emotional body, consciousness, and soul that exist almost like a club sandwich, if you will. I don't mean to make little of the greatness that we were given to be, but it's true. We coexist within ourselves in many layers. And it's very hard to receive the nourishment we need from that sandwich or into that sandwich when we are not able to receive the messages from God that are telling us what to do next. Now, as you come to the blessing and you receive more and more of it each week, it will actually create more attunement for you to receive directly in your own prayer time, directly in your own life, because you'll say, oh, okay, that's it. It's like in the old days. Of course, that's unfortunately, I'm older than most of you on this call. And I remember the days when we used to have the little wheel turn radios where you would get static if you were just slightly off. And then you'd get to where you began to hear a signal And then you get a perfect signal. Well, that's kind of what it's like, receiving this inspiration from the higher levels. We have to turn that little wheel, get the static out of the way, and get tuned to where we receive the special gifts that God is giving directly to you. God is not coming from me, through me, to you. God is coming directly to you. But I have been taught by Yeshua how to emulate the human frequencies of energy that will help you better send and receive, so that you can say your prayers with more effectiveness. You can receive your answers with more clarity. You can assimilate it into all the levels of that big club sandwich, which is the totality of your being. Some of those levels you probably haven't even contacted since your birth, because we dive right into the challenges of life when we're born. And for most of us as children, life is fun enough and exciting enough that we just stay with it. And we don't even cultivate a spiritual life. It's usually not for several years into this life that children begin to look for something more than the obvious. And when they do see it, they have trouble describing it to adults who've almost forgotten the realm of life that is beyond the obvious. And I used to counsel people on finding their angel. And it was always so much easier with children. And with adults, I would always take them back to their childhood, which is where they would find remembrances of speaking with their angel and their angel being with them, and they could see their angel then. Then they grew up and they forgot. They grew up and they lost this dimension of their being. So what we're doing with the blessing is really just helping you remember, helping you recover who you are. We're not providing anything that isn't already there, except that it's covered up, and perhaps you're not making a strong enough connection with your Creator, with the universe, with all the opportunities around you, with your own higher self, and with the love that you are. And Yeshua came to help us recover that about ourselves. And for the most part, it's a subtractive process. It's not about getting something more. It's about letting go of all the things you're not. Guess what? You're not the worry that you've been holding on to. You're not the sense of limitation you've been putting a lot of life and fear into. You're not the person who doesn't have something. You're not anything that's actually troubled. You're not even the pain in your body. This is why people who are really trained in the high mystic arts can go to a dentist without Novocaine. All they do is they become who they are, and they allow the part of themselves which is experiencing the pain to just be somewhere else, because it's not them. This is how Yeshua could endure the enormous pain of crucifixion, the enormous annihilation and invalidation of what appeared to be death. And it didn't know who he really was. That reappeared on the third day. Now, sometimes it takes a lot of shoveling. Pardon me. And a lot of shoveling, if you know what, to get all those layers of who you're not out of the way. But you can do it. And it really helps to have reinforcement of who you are. The love that you are. The fact that God loves you no matter what. The fact that God sends you blessings no matter what. The fact that God is in communion with you no matter what, even if you don't listen. Even if you don't know that you're being loved and cared for, God's there. It's important to get a little touch of that. at least once a week. And that's what we do. And ever so often I have to give a little bit of presentation on the blessing and what it is, because we always have new people coming in to find out about this. It's free, and nobody's doing anything to you. This is one place you can come to and count on nobody doing anything to you. All we're doing is helping you be who you are, helping you remember who you are, that you are a loving child of God, here to be a blessing to the earth and to receive the blessings of God. It's really about as simple as that. To get all the problems out of the way and the pains out of the way. And yes, the fact is, at some point, we will all cross over from this mortal plane of existence into a better one. One where we recover our sense of love and our sense of reunion with God. And yes, we will lose people to that transition in the course of our life. But if we have the privilege of knowing that while they were here, we knew the real person, if only for a moment, then nothing is ever lost. If we know that we have truly been ourselves, the loving being we are, if only for a moment, then it was all worth it. To be here amidst all the problems, all the cares, all the challenges, if through it all, you could just sit there under the old oak tree for one moment and look through your greater eyes into the infinity that surrounded you, the love that brought you into being, into existence, and just say to yourself, I don't understand all these things that are happening, why I don't have the answers, why I seem to be just recovering problem after problem, and yet I really am sitting here in peace, in bliss, in knowing that somewhere all is well, God is with me, and everything is okay. If for one moment you can feel that way, you will change your life. And you will have an anchor point to which you can return again and again and again. This is what the Buddha finally discovered when he sat under the tree. And he, amidst great poverty, great limitation and challenge, he discovered the inner world of bliss. And he knew that all was well. This is what we all have to discover in the course of living. And fortunately, we don't have to suffer the way Yeshua did. We don't have to suffer the way the prophets and the apostles did, or the mystics of the East, or those who proved that we are more than all the apparent problems of the world. They have proven this for them, for us. And for that we have immense and enduring gratitude. And they say to us now, through our angels, through all the spiritual essence of existence, you don't have to suffer that much. But you may need to endure some challenges in life, just so that you can make a choice about who you are and how you wish to be. A very, very simple example that didn't involve any immense pain for me, but it illustrates what I'm talking about. After I painted the portrait of Yeshua as a man who walked upon the earth, I had this great desire to paint him as the spiritual being I also and initially had seen him to be, as this great light that came to me. It just came and flooded my room and it was a light so brilliant coming from every direction that there were no shadows. It almost dissolved the material substance in the room. And I wanted to paint that because that was his presence that had no historical context. It had no racial context, no gender context, no limiting configurations that anyone could say, well, why did he come this way or that way? Or how do I relate to the fact that he didn't look like me or that he lived 2,000 years ago? And did he say anything that's relevant today? Well, when he came to me as that light, he came in the total power of now, which is actually the only place that light can live. And I wanted to paint that. But how do you paint pure light when a painting is on a reflective surface? There's always a microsecond of time involved in the reflection of light from somewhere else to that surface and then back to the eyes of the observer. And I kept holding faith, somewhere, somehow, I'll figure out how to do it. And finally, in 98, when I was writing the book, Love Without End, I thought, well, it's now or never. I'm going to try it, and if it doesn't work, I'll just abandon the idea. So I got it. I got a large painting surface, and I painted it the whitest white, with the whitest chemicals I could put on it. And I looked at that white, and I thought, but this is just flat. It doesn't radiate. It doesn't say what I experienced. So I thought, well, I'll create a pastel rainbow that's all refracted and sparkling like sparkling lights on the surface. And I did that. And at the end of the day, I was very disappointed because it looked like an impressionist snowstorm. I thought, well, this doesn't do it. Then I remembered there were rays of light. And I thought, oh, okay, I will bring back the white paint and I'll paint rays, tentacles, like rays of light on this surface. That'll do it. And at the end of the day, it didn't. And then I thought, well, gee, maybe I just need to make the color more intense. And somewhere inside that color, I'll find the light. So I created more intense colors the next day. Created something that looked kind of like an abstract painting. But that's all it looked like. And at the end of the day, I was very discouraged, and I left it. I was going to a seminar for the weekend, and I thought, okay, I'll just take a break, come back to it on Monday. And on my way back traveling, there was a lot of glare on the highway, and it gave me a new idea. I thought, well, what if I put gold and silver leaf all over this surface? That will reflect the light immediately. That'll do it. And I put it all over the surface. And after I did that, I stood back and looked at it, and it looked like my grandmother had made a new quilt out of gold and silver leaf. But it didn't look like what I had experienced. And I felt his presence in the room and the touch of a hand on my shoulder and a voice that said, would you like some help? And I said, of course I would like some help. I'm totally confused about what to do. I keep putting layer and layer upon layer, and I just can't create what I want to create. And he said, you see that packing tape over on your daybed? And I said, well, yeah. He said, I want you to take strips, line up strips and strips and strips. And then I want you to take strips of it, wrap it around your hand, sticky side out. And I want you to start pulling paint off that surface. And I thought, wow, what's that going to do? And he said, just trust me, do it. And as I did it, I pulled off passages of paint. First of all, some parts of the gold and silver leaf. And all the layers of paint showed through. And once they were all shining through with the gold and silver leaf on the surface, I stood back and I said, well, that's it. That's the closest I could ever get in the physical world to what I experienced that day. And he said, you did it all by taking away layers upon layers upon layers of what you thought you would add to the quality of life when it was all there from the very beginning. And that for me was a parable of life that I use to remember. That's what we do in the blessing, is we touch back on the original light, the original love, the perfection that you are, so that you can begin shining through the many layers of your life. I see Mary on the call. Hi, Mary. Did you want to say something?
Hi, Glenda. Yes, I'm so happy that you're talking about your painting, and I actually wanted to tell you a little bit about the painting that I have of yours of Yeshua. I wondered if I could ask for a blessing for my son. His name is Ryan.
Yeah.
I would really appreciate it if the community would hold him in prayer. And I have been actually very sorrowful for my son. My son actually has had to go to jail, and I will thank God if no one on the line knows what that experience is like. And I would also like to pray for every mother who has a child in the prison systems. And I do lean on the Blessed Mother a lot, because I don't know how she watched her child suffer, and so I go to her continually. But what I wanted to tell you is that during this time when I've been very sad, I have your painting of Yeshua in my room that a wonderful friend purchased for me after the blessing seminar. And Glenda, I just have to tell you, I probably have stared a hole through that painting, but this week while I've been so sad, I swear that painting, he's wearing a robe or a blanket, a maroon-colored tunic of some type around his shoulders, and the painting has become so three-dimensional that I swore it was him. I've gone over to the painting to touch him because I thought it was him.
Bless you, Mary.
I'm sorry.
We're with you, Mary, and we send you our heart and our blessing. I can't imagine what it would be like to go through what you're going through, but the Blessed Mother is one definitely to allow to hold you. She understands, and he does as well. And that is one of many, many similar miracles I have heard through the years. He does step out of the painting.
He does.
He does.
I went over to touch him because it looked like the tunic was hanging over the frame. Like I was,
uh-huh.
I was so surprised to touch the canvas.
He does step out of the painting, and he does. I asked him once why he asked me to do this, because there were so many great paintings of him. Why? And he said because all the other paintings were created to illustrate some story or event in my life. I just want to establish connection with people today in today's world, for they need me so much. And so this is why the eyes are focused directly upon you. And, of course, the painting I was talking about was First Light, which is the painting that's on the cover of Love Without End. But Mary is speaking about the Lamb and the Lion, which is the painting I was called to paint. And ultimately, the two paintings are about the same thing. They're about the love that we are, that we've forgotten. And I think the most horrible thing I would think about seeing someone I love go to prison is the fear that they will forget about the love that they are in that state of confinement, which is a continual invalidation of them.
It is.
But what you can do, Mary, is pray for those who watch over him. Pray for those who are there to help him. Pray that they can be with him in a more loving and supportive way, and that somewhere and in some way, he will find the love that he is in that context. Because all of us are called into some context of challenge where we find the love that we are. And many great people have emerged from prison, one of the most famous being Nelson Mandela.
Okay.
And many others before that. So it is not a soul killer. He can survive. He can surmount it, Mary. We pray for him, and we hold him in our hearts.
Thank you.
And we hold you in our hearts, and I sure hope you can come to the Blessing Conference, because we need you.
Me too. Thank you.
Bye-bye, sweetie.
Bye.
And it is time to offer our blessing for today. And I see that Desmond is on the call as well. Desmond, I'll take your call. Open your line if you could make it really short.
Hang on. Your call is so relevant, and so is Mary's, and just the challenges of, being alone and stuff. And I had this experience at church where I finally connected with someone, and I felt like I made a soul connection with somebody, and I felt all the burdens lift of being alone. So, finding somebody, there's a lot of people, and we make judgments about people that are in prison, but there's probably a lot of good people that you can meet still in prison.
That's right.
Some good friends, like you were saying.
That's right. You can meet good, everybody is a child of God. It's just some people are hidden under so many layers of denial and possibly destructive activity that it's hard to find the real person there. But the ideal outcome of being in any type of confinement is healing, where those layers no longer are activated. There's no longer stimulation for activating those layers, and the real person can emerge and endure and surmount the confinement. And Desmond, we know that there are people who love you and are there to support you, and we are here to support you. We love you very much. And we send you our blessings always.
I just want to have a blessing request maybe for my mom, because she started a new salon, and she's having a little bit of trouble getting some employees and stuff, and just best wishes for her to find people that she can work with that make her happy and stuff, I suppose.
We will. We will. And Misha, if you're on the call, we send you our love as well. So, Desmond, I'm going to close your line so that we can start our blessing. And we know that God is with everyone. God loves you all, wherever you are, whatever condition you may find yourself in. And we are here to open that line a little better, to push the light through the layers a little bit more clearly and efficiently, so that the blessings get through and your light escapes the confinement of whatever densities might have darkened your world. So here I would ask other blessing givers to stand with me, and the rest of you be seated with your feet on the ground, your attention in your heart, no longer thinking in your mind, and begin your prayer. I will say an invocation to Yeshua. Then we will conduct the energy. After that, I want you to go and recline. Rest for at least 7 minutes. And I will let you know when we have finished the conduction of energy and you're ready to go and rest. So let us begin. Dear Yeshua, beloved Son of God, brother of man, we thank you so for being in our life and showing us all that we can be. We ask for your blessings here and your love always. Amen. Your blessing is complete. Now go and fully receive it. Lie down. Don't think. Don't continue your prayer even. Just rest, empty yourself, and prepare to receive more into a cup that is ready to receive. Blessings to you for now. God bless you. Be with you always. And I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye.